This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Next, our studio guest, we have our Michael Fox, who is the owner curator of Fox Gallery, who's in to talk about, well, we'll talk a little bit about Michael himself, but also the exhibitions that are going on.
Absolutely.
Welcome to the show.
Oh, sorry. We love Michael. Yep. Every he's so inspirational and is the most humblest person.
I know. And we did chat to you about a year or so ago, I think before, but some of our listeners may not have actually heard previously, so we started a little bit about your background and how you got started. Now, I know you didn't start with the arts, and I remember we talked about this last time, but tell us a little bit about where you started.
Well, I've always had great interest in the arts, so I had a choice when I was leaving school to either study the arts or to study economics. And my father said, I'll never make any money out of the arts. So one thing led to another, and I did do economics. But I've always had a great, passion and wanted to be involved in the arts. And eventually I did form my own gallery that was in Brisbane. And, I've been either running galleries or, and over time I became a qualified art valuer as well. So I've been involved pretty actively in the arts for at least 20 years now.
Did you ever practice the arts with your love for arts? Or was it just something you wanted to be involved in?
Well, I've always liked writing. Yeah. So in terms of the gallery itself, I do a lot of the actual essays for the artists. And when I was involved in the auction industry with Joel Fine Art, I would have to do essay writing on the artists that, or the artworks that we were putting up for sale. So I guess that's the part that I would regard as the artistic part for me. Yeah. And apart from that, also probably the curating the exhibitions, selecting the artists, being involved with the shows in terms of visiting artists in their studios and talking about concepts and what have you.
But what I love about what you also do, Michael, is your support of the artists because you are, like in finance, and we all know that most visual artists aren't very good financially.
Not really.
And you support them in that way by guiding them.
Well, that's right, because that's the other hat I wear, is that I also have my own accountancy practice, and that practice specialises in the artists, musicians, writers, people in film and TV. And basically, I have made some impact on people's lives in that way, because who wants to pay more tax than they need to, I suppose.
Or even get around to doing their tax.
Yes, that's right. So that's part of what the practice has to do as well, is to round everyone up every year and make sure they lodge those returns.
which would be hard with artists, wouldn't it? Do they just appreciate the fact that you're there now for them?
I think it's someone, for me, I think a lot of artists just to appreciate talking to someone who actually understands their situation, who doesn't have a judgment, who doesn't sort of say, why are you doing that? Why don't you get a job? that sort of thing, I do really think it's a great thing to be involved in the arts, and I think Australia as a society really, basically people contributing in that way, we're very lucky to have them.
Yeah. So. Now, because you've been doing that practice obviously for quite a few years, and you said you've only been in the gallery world for three years?
Oh, well, the gallery I started in Brisbane was 20 years ago now.
Oh, right, yeah.
The gallery, so I relocated from Brisbane to Melbourne 10 years ago.
Why did you do that?
Well, I did that pretty much because my partner wouldn't move to Brisbane.
Oh, okay.
So that's a good enough reason,
so
I suppose.
I guess that's my excuse for leaving my hometown. But,
right.
But I'm also, over time, I've more gravitated towards Melbourne. In fact, most of the people who bought artworks from me when I was in Brisbane were either in Sydney or in Melbourne. So I think that Melbourne is the right place to be. I think Melbourne is the right place to be in terms of the whole country. There's a lot more going on here, and it's a much more sort of like arts-friendly environment than just about every other city.
Now, over the last few years, and here you are, with a gallery, And a lot of galleries aren't doing as well as they used to, and a few have disappeared.
Mm.
How's it going, being, you know, like a gallery owner?
Well, I'm enjoying it. I was in Sydney last week, and I was talking to another gallery owner, and she's been doing this for 25 years, and she said it's like a slow-moving snowball. You know, and I think you just have to keep putting on good exhibitions, sticking to your guns, you know, not putting on exhibitions that you really... The reason why you're putting them on is just because you want to make some money.
Yeah.
Because that's really just a short-term way of approaching it. But I think in overall the whole gallery environment right now, there's a lot of competition. You know, like all industries, there's what you might describe as digital disruption in terms of the fact that you've got platforms like Instagram, you've got other online websites where artists can sell their work if they want to. So artists now can choose not to actually go through a gallery.
Yep.
They can choose to make their own career without having to put on exhibitions. But I'm off the old school, and I think that you really do need to put on well-curated exhibitions with essays, you know, where you can talk about the artwork. People could come in, and it's like a community thing as well, where, you know, like there's no discrimination. Anyone can walk in off the street to see a gallery show.
Yeah. Now, with the artist, you know, like there are so many artists out there, but how do you choose the right ones to, especially to exhibit? And at the end of the day, you want them to make money, and you know, you're paying rent where you are for the gallery space. So, you know, like it must be hard.
It is difficult. You know, we do get a lot of artists approaching us for exhibition, and I guess I don't really have a particular criteria for who I would choose and who I would not choose. But I think one of the things I'm always looking for in art is beauty and also concept. And I think if you can marry the two together, you know, you really do have something.
So is it a gut feeling a lot of the time with you?
I think you'd have to say it is. I've had, in last year I was approached by quite a commercially successful sculptor from Sydney, and I just couldn't stomach the thought of showing that work.
Okay.
You know, I just couldn't do it. I mean, it would have, you know, and that's the thing. You have to balance the commercial side with the critical side. Because you've got also, you know, you're showing what might be described as a stable of artists too. So you have relationships between those artists.
And you've got that stable, haven't you, of artists?
Yes, there's about 20 now.
Yep.
So, you know, you might bring on a new artist and one of your artists might go, I can't stand that person. I don't like what they do. And it would upset. And there has to be consistency with the exhibitions as well. It's like a concept. Well, it's like once again, old school. It's like listening to an album from, you know, one side to the other, and basically it being consistent. So, yeah.
Sorry, I just wanted to ask about that stable of artists that you have. Mm. How does that actually work in the sense of, you know, well, what's the working relationship? How do you all benefit from each other?
Last year, actually, we held a dinner for all the artists where they could get together and talk with each other, and I encourage the other artists to attend other artists' opening exhibitions if they can. So I think just over time, it's just a matter of you know, those sort of synergies between artists. You know, I mean, in history, most artists come in what you might describe as schools. So, you know, you will have similarities, or you will have artists that support each other. I mean, one of the artists that we're showing this week is Victor Rubin. And Victor Rubin is really a very beloved artist in the Melbourne art scene. And we showed Victor for the first time last year. And we had, you know, artists from, you know, emerging to very famous coming to the opening. And you could see that there was such support for him.
Okay.
Victor's also been a teacher over time as well, and very generous with his time towards other artists.
Right. And all of a sudden I looked down at the piece you've got there and I went, oh, that's the Blue Mountains. But then all of a sudden I also realised that it's actually called Northwest Kimberley as well.
That's right.
So, obviously I didn't read the writing.
No, but
It's really, yeah. What is it? Is it screen printed over, or
these are gouaches, and gouaches are probably best described as being a translucent sort of medium, and a medium that a lot of artists would use if they're painting in the field on plein air, as they might say. So Victor was in the Kimberleys in 1992. He'd come back from Europe. You know, he'd very successful part of his career, and he made a whole body of work in relation to the Kimberleys. Most of it was sold to quite a famous art collector from Sydney called Hugh Jamieson, who was part of the, well, he really started the Allens art collection, Allens Lawyers.
Yeah.
So really, what was left over were these gouaches, and Victor, like a lot of artists, put them into his studio and over time forgot about them. So when we were looking at doing a show based on landscape, I was talking to Victor and I said, do you have anything, and in particular because one of the other artists we're showing is Beck Juniper, and this is her first show in Melbourne, and her paintings are Western Australian landscape except from the air. She paints from aerial viewpoint. So Victor, after a while, said, I was looking through my studio and I came across these gouaches. And so he agreed to show them. So it's quite exciting to recontextualise, rediscover artwork like that.
Now, you've got three artists that are all exhibiting at the one time. Who's the third artist?
Third artist is Rolly Drysdale.
Right.
And he's a ceramic artist.
Yeah, so therefore you've got two painters and then ceramic artists. Is it, you know, like, so it's nice, well, they're both landscape, but from different perspectives, the actual paintings.
Yes.
And then, so therefore you've got the art on the wall and then you can bring it together by having the ceramics.
Yes, that's right. What I like with exhibitions is the way that you can put two different artists and they can kind of bounce off each other.
Yep.
And they both lift each other.
Yep.
With Rolly, most recently, he's been working with what you might describe as a still life format in trios. So trios of bowls.
And they look very landscape-ish in a way, don't they?
They do. And Rolly has always experimented very heavily. He uses wood-fired. He has a wood-fired Enagamma kiln on his property. Enagamma kiln is one which is literally buried into the side of the landscape.
Oh, okay.
Very hot. He's also done a lot of exhibitions in Southeast Asia. He's done a lot of exhibitions in Japan and Korea.
Oh,
and he uses,
you get that image from it, don't you, in a way?
One of the things that Rolly is particularly known for is using seashells in his ceramic.
Yep.
And that's actually a Japanese technique.
Yeah.
So you put the pot is actually placed onto the seashell inside the kiln, and seashells can withstand temperature to about 1300 degrees, and then they sort of crystallise into the pot.
Wow.
And they're beautiful, beautiful texture.
Yeah, and they are. They're very beautiful. You know, like as if they're almost paintings on. You know, like some of your atypical you know, like pots, but then some of the others are beautifully hand painted as well, aren't they?
They are, and there's a particular glaze that he's been using, which is cobalt crystal glaze. And that's like a very shiny, ocean blue colour.
Mm.
And they look like glass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So, Michael, where's your gallery?
The gallery's at 79 Langridge Street at Collingwood.
Right.
Yeah.
And when does the exhibition open?
It opens on Wednesday night at 5 o'clock, 5 to 7.
And, brilliant. Yeah. And how long is it running to?
It will be on for all of March.
Right, until the 2nd of April. Right.
That's right.
And is that how long they usually run for your exhibitions, about a month?
Yes, that's right. I mean, I'd like to have a good run of a show, at least 4 weeks.
Yep.
So that gives people a chance to see the work.
Okay, and do you have a website so people can have a look?
Yes, so you could just go onto foxgalleries.com.au and it's all there.
Right, brilliant. Michael, always a pleasure to interview you, and you. And like so many of the artists, I bet you they all thank you for what you're doing for them, and even financially as well.
Okay, that's right. Thank you for the opportunity to be here this afternoon.
Our pleasure.
Thank you, Neil.
Thanks so much, Michael. You're here on Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.